Permet mia, permet mi stem, I think from hell, I stay low land, higher plane, than I am bound, I plant my feet on higher ground, I want to stay.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As I was preparing to share with you today the Word of God, God has a way of encouraging us and helping us to understand that everything is not all doom and gloom once we place our minds and our hearts on the Lord. Now, I'm speaking to those people who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can have happiness just like every person who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior. You can have that joy by trusting Jesus as your Savior. But as I was thinking about this, I was thinking that you and I have everything. That's those of us who know Him as Savior. We have everything to be thankful for today. He has ways of encouraging us, and He encourages my heart. And I think of a song. Now, don't get worried. I'm not going to sing. I want to read some words to you. It says, "My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in His hands." We often think that, what are we going to do now? The things are looking so bad. Money is, the interest rates are up. Prices of food is constantly going up, gasoline goes up, and all of this goes up. But I want you to know that my Father is rich in houses and lands. I don't have to worry about houses and lands because my Father, we're going to see in a moment, He owns them. He holdeth the wealth of the world in His hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. He has more than rubies and diamonds. He's the one who made those things. And this means nothing to the saved person once you stop to think about it, because we have a heavenly home and we're going to be there one day with the Lord Jesus Christ. But this song goes on to say, "I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King." Did you ever stop to really think of that? You are a child of the King once you've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is our elder brother when we've trusted Him as Savior. And because He is the Son, the only begotten Son of God, that makes us a child of God as well. We will reign with our Heavenly Father. We will reign with Jesus Christ. And we don't have to worry in this life. Now, we may be concerned about certain things, about houses and lands, but we need to realize that Jesus says this, "My Father is rich." We can say this today as we look to our elder brother, as we look to our Heavenly Father. My Father is rich. And as we think of this, He's able not only to take care of us physically, materially, but He's able to take care of us in every way that we could ever imagine. We need to cast our care upon the Lord today and trust Him, because we trusted Him as our Savior. Why don't we trust Him to take care of us in our day-to-day life? We have everything to be happy about today. We have everything to be joyful about, and we need to live like it and let people around us know that we are happy in the Lord and that we do not have to worry about things of this life, because Jesus Christ has taken care of the things that we need today. Our Heavenly Father is on the throne, and Jesus is right there with Him, making intercession for each one of us. Be happy today. Be joyful today as a saved person, because you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to worry about, because Jesus Christ has taken care of those things. Well, we've been studying Ephesians chapter 4, and we left off last time, and we're getting ready to look at verse 10. But we were talking about gifts. Now, I'm not going into the different gifts that God has given to the local church at this time, but I want you to know that that God did give gifts to individuals in the church. And why would God give gifts to the church, to individuals? Well, Ephesians chapter 5, we jump ahead a little bit in our study. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27 says that he might present it to himself a glorious church. That's the reason he gave gifts and the reason he gives gifts to individuals. That he might present it, that's the church, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The gifts that God has given to individuals within a local church, if those gifts are being used properly, if people are doing what God wants them to do in the local church, then that body that he's going to receive is going to be holy and without blemish. Now, we know that each person is holy by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Without blemish is, means that we are doing what he wants us to do as the people of God. We need to use the gifts that God has given us in the local church to further the gospel, to further salvation for those individuals who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Well, let's look at verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 4 now. Now, we talked about his ascension back to glory and his descension into the lower parts of the earth. But notice in verse 10, it says, he that descended is the same also that descended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. In other words, that he could take care of everything. That he might fill all things, that everything would be accomplished that was to be accomplished. Well, notice in that verse the word ascended. Now, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 51, the Bible says, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up where? Into heaven. Acts chapter 1 verse 11 says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Well, notice again the word descended. Now, we talked about ascended, and we've also talked about the word descended, but notice in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. It says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. And we know that. We know that he suffered as no man has ever suffered, I believe, according to the Word of God. Christ suffered. He went to the cross. He suffered on the cross, but he suffered before that, and he suffered even more so on the cross of Calvary, more than anybody, I believe, has ever born. For Christ also hath once suffered, why? For sins. The just for the unjust. He was the just. We're the unjust. Jesus Christ, without sin, the just, died for the unjust, those who are sinners. And that's us. That's human beings who are born into this world who need a Savior. The just, Jesus Christ for the unjust, that's us, human beings. That he, that's Jesus Christ, might bring us, that's the unjust, that's people of this world, bring us to God. He did this to bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, made alive by the Spirit, coming out of that grave, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Remember, we talked about that, how that I believe that Jesus Christ went in to Abraham's bosom and preached. Now, he didn't preach so people could get saved. The people where he was at in Abraham's bosom, they were already saved. They were being comforted. But he was preaching also to those people and those spirits in hell. He was telling them, you should have believed. You should have trusted God. You should have trusted Jehovah. You should have done what you were supposed to do in order to be right now in Abraham's bosom and one day be with me in heaven, just as these people that I'm getting ready to take out of Abraham's bosom is going back with me to heaven. You could have been there too. But now you're in hell forever, forever, and forever. Well, notice 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. And we read verse 20 now. It says, which sometime were disobedient. Let's go back. And verse 19, it says, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God, this is the reason I know he wasn't preaching to the people in Abraham's bosom, telling them, well, you know, you should have done right. No, he was preaching to these people who had been disobedient, who had never trusted God, to take God at his word, to know that they were on their way to heaven, to do what God wanted them to do in order to be saved. With these people, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Notice the term here, spirits in prison. You see, Christ has ascended to heaven. It says, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 9. And once again, I believe this speaks of being in the lower parts of the earth, as the Bible says. If Christ preached, I believe, while in Abraham's bosom, so that those who had refused the grace of God unto salvation would see and hear the one who had the means of salvation for them, even in the days of Noah, as the ark was being prepared. And of course, Christ was not addressing those in Abraham's bosom about them refusing God's grace, because they were saved as evidenced by them being in Abraham's bosom. Now, those who were in hell would see and hear Christ just as the beggar was seen by the rich man in Luke chapter 16. Now, I want to read those verses right now, a few verses here. Luke 16, verses 24 through 26. And he cried, this is the rich man who went to hell. Now, he didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he refused to do what God told him to do to be saved. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence or hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now Christ was there also, I believe, in Abraham's bosom, to let those in Abraham's bosom know that it would not be long until he would personally escort them to heaven. Hallelujah! What a Savior! God is so great. Jesus Christ is so great. I can read these verses. I can read how that Jesus Christ preached to the spirits. How that I believe he told those people in hell, you should have listened. And how he told the people in Abraham's bosom, you did listen. Thank God. You did listen. And hallelujah, I'm going to take you out of here. I'm going to take you back so that you can see your heavenly Father. He led captivity captive. He led those people out of Abraham's bosom up to heaven, where they could see the one who had sent his only begotten Son into the world to seek and to save them, those people who had been in Abraham's bosom, and those today who are living. Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father to seek and to save those who were lost. And if you've never trusted him as Lord and Savior, I'm not telling you to join the church. I'm not telling you to get baptized to be saved. I'm not telling you to do anything to be saved other than trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to come to him faith believing that he is able to save you today. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. That word whosoever means you. If you will trust Jesus Christ to save you today, you're not going to try to go your way to heaven anymore, but you're going to go God's way, Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.